Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL lunch.
Cook you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Burrow left hash. First and goal at the 3. Score and win. Burrow, shotgun snap, locked left side. He throws left side, end zone, touchdown, T. Higgins! Higgins with a huge game, gets a 3-yard score, and the Bengals stay alive as they beat the Broncos in overtime, 30-24.
Westwood won on the call, dramatic win, Cincinnati, Joe Burrow to T. Higgins, as you heard, which kept their playoff hopes alive, which were extinguished the next week because Kansas City rested all their starters. In Cincinnati dug that big hole earlier, mainly because of the defense, and they couldn't get into the postseason, second consecutive year that they miss the NFL playoff fun. It's NFL Lunch, Biddy at 81.057 The Fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. But Joe Burrow had a monster 2024 season. If they were a playoff team, you could have made a case for him.
No doubt.
Being MVP of the league, but they weren't, and he wasn't. Now, Nolan brought this up earlier in the show. Nick Shook from NFL.com, rating the quarterbacks by division, like which division has the strongest quarterbacks, and what he did, their final QB index rating is part of the equation heading into this season. So I get all that. But the AFC North was 5th. Okay. Lamar was number 1 QB index.
Okay.
Burrow was 3. Now the Browns have Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. All right. 47 and 40. I mean, Joe Flacco last year for the Colts didn't exactly have the greatest of the year. And Kenny Pickett, you know, basically waved a towel and got himself a Super Bowl ring in Philly. Aaron Rodgers was number 22. All right, I'll listen to that Cleveland gigantic question mark.
Who was 2? Josh Allen or Mahomes?
Hold on for a second. In a colossal situation here, Cleveland. And then Aaron Rodgers had a decent year for the Jets, but now he's in Pittsburgh. So the AFC North came in 5th based on last year's performance and maybe projecting this year. Now, you mentioned Josh Allen. He was 2nd, by the way.
Okay.
AFC East was 4th. All right. Tua was 18. QB index. I'm looking at this year project. Forget about all that.
Yeah.
So you have Josh Allen, legit MVP of the league. Been to 2 AFC championship games. Beat the Ravens twice to get to both of them. Just throwing that out there. But Tua, all right, puts up big gaudy numbers when he plays. Justin Fields, I've always thought he could be a good player. Guy got benched in Pittsburgh last year.
Yeah.
For Russell Wilson. And then Drake May, 2nd year in the league. Don't know what he's going to bring yet. No. We like the upside. The athleticism's undeniable, blah, blah, blah. The AFC East has a better quarterback group than the AFC North?
That makes no sense, Bob, because when you got 1 and 3, you know, you've got two better than anybody else in any of those other divisions. You know, I mean, to me it makes it, all right, Aaron Rodgers is your 3rd. And then your 4th is probably as bad as anybody else's, but is Cleveland and Pittsburgh, can they bring down the 2 of the best, you know, to make them 5th? Hell no.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland, obviously, to him is a major drag in the rankings. But just Lamar, Burrow, and Rodgers alone, to your point, puts him ahead of the AFC East.
Oh, easily.
Well, but the NFC East coming in at number three. Not only get in on this one, too. Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, who might not even be starting at the end of the season. Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels. All right. And Dak's had big years, but he's had a couple of injury-plagued years.
No doubt.
And his playoff success is pretty limited. Hurts has been to two Super Bowls, just won one. Jaden Daniels, as a rookie, took the Commanders to the NFC Championship game. Russell Wilson is on the downslope of his career and has been for a couple of years. NFC East, granted, just list, and we lose our minds over it.
What's Daniels, like fifth overall?
He was number five.
Yeah.
Hurts was nine.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't, you know, and Dak Prescott, like you said, Bob, I mean, to me, what, you know what Dak Prescott is? A stat dude. He's like golf was at L.A.
Yeah, or Stafford was with the Lions.
Better. That's way back better. When. That's even better. You know, you get a ton of stats, but you don't get many wins.
Nolan, what do you think of this? All right, we can lose our minds over nothing, which is basically what this is. This is, we're filling time for NFL lunch. But, I mean, AFC North fifth? I don't see it. You got a couple multiple-time MVPs, Lamar and Aaron Rodgers. You have a guy that's been to a Super Bowl in Joe Burrow. And you have a guy in Joe Flacco who's won a Super Bowl. I mean, granted, it was 13 years ago, but AFC East ahead, and the NFC East ahead of the North? Nah, not buying it.
Well, I think it all comes down to the floor in both of those divisions, AFC and NFC East, is far higher than it is in the North. I mean, you could argue that the AFC North ceiling is higher than those as well, but that's where that big disparity comes in. And if we're going to go off of these QBI rankings, which is kind of the core of this whole ranking list here, I'm looking here. It's a very close race then between AFC North at five, AFC East at four. When you average out all of those rankings, you know, Lamar at one, Allen at two, and so on and so forth, the average ranking for the AFC East comes out to 17. AFC North is 17.3. So, I mean, we're talking about decimal points here. Okay, AFC, swap them. Make AFC North four. Are we satisfied at that point?
Yeah, I feel better.
A little better. And as far as the NFC East, I mean, you want to start arguing the QBI rankings here. Well, Russell Wilson is ranked number 23. Aaron Rodgers, number 22. Both of them didn't have great seasons last year. Statistically, Rodgers probably much better to look at from a numbers standpoint. I don't know. I mean, I think it'd be a better case of arguing the actual QBI rankings, which is, I don't know where that comes from. It's based on a lot of things.
Where's NFC North? Because I think potentially they got a chance to be pretty good. Potentially. Like, if we did it a year from now, theirs could be pretty damn good if Caleb, JJ, you know.
They're sixth right now.
Right. So their big hitter's Goff, who comes in at four. That can't be right.
Damn.
How's that right?
Four. Where's Mahomes?
I'm looking to see. He's got to be, where is he?
Mahomes. I mean, the list is right
seven.
There on the internet. It's seven.
Well, I'm scrolling.
Yes.
I'm doing a lot of scrolling.
Yeah, we got it.
Damn.
Anywho, that's that. But
how about if you did receivers, Bob? I bet you the NFC, AFC North would be pretty high up.
Well, Cincinnati alone's got a bunch of dudes. You know what I mean? And, same with the Ravens.
And Metcalf.
And Metcalf now in Pittsburgh. I mean, Deontay Johnson's in Cleveland. That changes the whole landscape.
The floor,
of the
no doubt. The floor.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, more NFL talk with Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Then the American League East report at 1:30. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. Then Inside Access at 2. Don't forget Baltimore Baseball tonight live. Pickles Pub, me, Mike Bordick, Joe LaCroix, getting you ready for the Orioles, hopefully winning a series. That's a big hope with Jacob DeGrom on the hill.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Ryan Wilson. Ryan, good afternoon. How you feeling today?
Happy summer, guys. How's it going?
Good. It's going all right, Ryan. And, of course, you and I go back a long ways, and you never like to rub your Steeler fandom in my face, which is great, you know, because I don't rub my Ravens fandom in your face unless, you know, the Ravens beat them in the playoffs or something crazy like that. But we look at the division where the Ravens clearly the most talented on paper. Cincinnati's always that team. Hey, you talk about who could beat Mahomes in the playoffs? Well, Joe Burrow did it. Got to a Super Bowl. Beat him in Kansas City, as a matter of fact. And now your Steelers get Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, you know, adding these pieces. So we love Mike Tomlin, or Rodgers does. He loves DK Metcalf. They worked out together. As a Steeler fan first, and then being an unbiased observer, your optimism level for the Steelers being better than they were last year is what?
Well, first things first, I'm glad that you said the quiet part out loud that you do, in fact, love Mike Tomlin. So that is good news for me to hear.
I'm cool with it.
Secondly, you know what's funny? If you look at the stats for the second half of last season, when everyone said that Aaron Rodgers seemed to be vastly improved from removed from that Achilles injury, his stats were nearly identical. Whatever stat you want to pick out, it was nearly identical to how Russ Wilson played over the second half of the season, where they were 10-3 at one point, and I believe they lost 5 straight, including the playoff game. So, look, best case scenario, you're catching Tom Brady lightning in a bottle in Tampa Bay. Worst case scenario, you're getting Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. And I would imagine, given Mike Tomlin's history, that this team will probably win 9 or 10 games. And then no matter what, I think Aaron said this the other day, he's done after this year, no matter what, he'll be 42. They got to draft a quarterback in the first round, unless Will Howard just ends up being Tom Brady 2.0, their 6th-round pick, and I don't know if you want to bank on that. So I think this team is looking at 9 or 10 wins, and you know, jokes aside, the Ravens are the best team in the division and one of the best teams in the conference in the NFL, and the conversation in January is probably going to be between Baltimore, Buffalo, and Kansas City. But I think the Steelers are just trying to tape this thing together. The offensive line should be better. It's certainly younger. Run game should be better. Receivers are not going to be as good. George Pickens is gone, and they don't have a number two or a number three. They have DK Metcalf, but is DK Metcalf better than George Pickens when they're both locked in? I don't know, and they're going to have to figure that out. So defense should be a little bit better as well, but I'll put the over-under at 9.5.
Hey, Ryan, are the Bengals the Bengals? I mean, with this contract stuff, I mean, it's it's ridiculous that, you know, you thought that they were coming out of it, then it's like, no, it's still the Bengals.
Right. You know, you know, tennis, the French Open just happened, and you hear a lot about unforced errors. It feels like the Bengals major in unforced errors. Just they keep shooting themselves in the foot, and they won't stop reloading the gun. They just keep aiming it at their feet and keep blasting their toes off. And it just, why? For who? For what? Why would you change the contract language for Shamar Stewart when you didn't change it last year for Amari Smith and any other when you drafted prior to that, or in the contracts you did for Jamar and T, just to save a few bucks. And I know there are agents who will not let their clients play in Cincinnati. And you're essentially wasting Joe Burrow's best years because of just you can't get out of your own way. And, you know, we've talked about this for years now. I'm still not sure if Zach Taylor's a good coach because he has Joe Burrow, but they seem to come up short in the biggest moments. But when their defense played the way it did last year and you draft – Shamar Stewart isn't a project, but he wasn't nearly as productive as you were hoping
what,
he would be.
Four sacks
in total, not last year, in his career. And I think I would imagine you want him to be there getting as many reps as possible while also not making angry Trey Hendrickson your best defensive player. So, but here we are.
Now, hey, Ryan, who's going to be the starting quarterback in Cleveland? And you know, how did the rookies do at minicamp and OTAs?
Well, Shador was getting to practice on time because he was driving really fast, apparently. So there's that.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get 2 citations. After the first one, you think you'd slow down, but what do I know? Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders are going to make the team. And then the question becomes, is it going to be Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett? I said from the start, once they had all 4 quarterbacks on the roster, not including Deshaun, it felt like Kenny Pickett might be the odd person out. He's in the last year of his rookie deal, so he's still relatively cheap, but Joe Flacco had that success 2 years ago in Cleveland, not quite as successful last year in Indy, but he's also 39, 40 years old. So I would imagine Kenny Pickett might be the odd man out. It might be one of those situations where you see someone get traded in training camp / preseason before the cuts. Joe Flacco starts the season, and then it's a matter of Dylan and or Shador getting opportunities. And I wouldn't be surprised if whoever the three quarterbacks are on the roster in week one, all three of those guys end up starting games at some point. I think Dylan and Shador were fine during this part of the offseason program. It's hard to mess this part up. Like, if you're bad in May and June, then you're probably going to be terrible once the season starts. So usually everyone can check some boxes and feel good about themselves. And I think that's where we are in the quarterback situation in Cleveland for now.
Ryan, I'll tell you what, about checking boxes and all that, when watching the Ravens, I was at all the OTAs and the mini camps. I don't see any boxes other than kicker, otherwise yeah. They're loaded.
Right, which is a wild thing to say, because 3 years ago, that was, he was one of the best players on the team, Justin Tucker. But in terms of checking boxes, so we did a podcast yesterday, and we did a redraft of the 2022 class, and we were all marveling at how Kyle Hamilton, quote-unquote, fell to, I think he went 14th, he went in the middle of the first round.
That's because he ran 4.7.
Yep, that's right. And it just goes to show you, just because you run slow at the combine doesn't mean you play slow. And Kyle Hamilton's one of the best safeties in the league. And the other box they checked is Malachi Starks. Now that defense is somehow better. Awesome. They got Jerry Alexander. This team is going to be lights out. They got Mike Green. It goes on, and we haven't even talked about the offense yet. Rosengarten is going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Lamar is Lamar. So, the weakest spot might be DeAndre Hopkins, and that's a great place to be if that's when you're having – that's where you're starting the conversation. There really is no excuse for this team to lose – 50-50 coin flip when you play the Chiefs or the Bills. But every other game, I would imagine they'll be favored. And every other game, if you told me they end up losing two games over the course of the season, regular season, that would make sense to me.
Now, Ryan, do you see, speaking of the Chiefs, I think that division is going to be tough for them. You got quarterbacks and you got coaches. I just think it's going to be – this is going to be their toughest defense. They're going to have a hard time defending their title there.
I think that's right. There are no homecoming teams in this division anymore, it feels like. I think year two of Jim Harbaugh is going to be better. They got a running back in Amari Hampton. I think the offensive line is going to be better. Defense should be better. You talk about a team with very few holes, which is a crazy thing to say. The Denver Broncos don't have a lot of holes if Bo Nix continues to improve, because that was the biggest question. And then they solved a bunch of those issues with two great, really good drafts. And then Vegas, you talk about Pete Carroll. I think Geno Smith might end up being like the comeback player of the year in terms of the third round pick for Geno and a second round for TK. That doesn't make sense to me. And he's going to come in slinging it. And I think the players they drafted in terms of explosive downfield players and Ashton Jeanty, defense will have to, get some stops. And that's been a sticking point in Las Vegas for a few years now. But I think offensively, they're going to be able to go toe to toe with every other team in that division. And they just got to find ways to hold on to the end.
Hey, Ryan, what did you hear about the OTAs and minicamp for J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams?
Yeah, so Caleb came out talking trash about the Packers, so that, I think that's a good start. But he made it clear, and it's no surprise, that things were a little crazy last year with Matt Eberflus, and they fired Shane Waldron 6 weeks into his campaign as OC. And this year with Ben Johnson and leaning on the running game and going out to get the offensive lineman in free agency and then drafting the skill position players they did in Colson Loveland and then Luther Burden, this is going to look a lot more like what we saw in Detroit. And I think it's going to happen pretty quickly in terms of J.J. McCarthy. We'll see, right? I mean, he looked good last year in preseason before he got hurt, but he was not asked to do a lot at Michigan. And he was great on third down at Michigan. But when you have a stud quarterback, no matter you're playing Division III or you're playing top-level Big Ten, usually you put everything on that quarterback's shoulders. And that was never the case at Michigan. So we'll see just how good Kevin O'Connell is, the head coach, at getting the most out of J.J. I think, he's a good athlete. He has a good arm. It's just a matter of putting it all together. Maybe last year sitting will end up being the best thing for him. But it could be a drop-off from Sam Darnold, which is a wild thing to say. So I have some reservations just about what J.J. is going to look like, because he hasn't experienced a lot of negative football, if you will. He had a 3-interception game against Bowling Green 2 years ago when things went south in a hurry. So I want to see what happens and how he bounces back from some bad plays. And if he can handle that, I mean, the team obviously has players on both sides of the ball that they can be competitive once again in 2025.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Ryan, last thing for you, since you brought up some of these second-year quarterbacks. I'm going to go ahead and assume Jaden Daniels is going to have another monster year. But what second-year quarterback not named Jaden Daniels is going to have a bust-out 2025 season?
Michael Penix Jr. is an option, but I think I'm going to go with Caleb because Caleb felt like a slam dunk coming out of USC and just things did not work out for him for a couple of reasons, partly his fault. Second half of the season, Caleb was much better in 2024, and I think this year with Ben Johnson, the reliance on the run game and that defense, I think he has a chance to be a lot of see a lot more of USC Caleb, and whether they're able to make a playoff push, we'll see, but I think they win more than they lose in Chicago.
Put you on the spot real quick. Better season, Justin Fields, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, boy.
There you go. There he is, loyal to the end. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Ryan, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
There's Ryan, everybody. We'll come back. American League East report. And then a trip to the Funhouse. Then Inside Access takes over it, too.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Time for the American League East report here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. As we've discussed multiple times here on the show, Orioles lose last night 6-5. You heard that during Nolan's update. Extra innings. Charlie Morton goes 5. Bullpen. Things got a little dicey there with the command and pass balls and such. Orioles were getting no hit through the first six innings that Lats kid was dealing. Orioles cracked 3 homers consecutive. Wasn't enough as they dropped the game 6-5. Now try to salvage the series, as we talked about last hour with Jim Hunter. Orioles are 3-9 in rubber games here in 2025. Birds are 34-45 on the year, 17-20 here at Oriole Park Camden Yards. Brandon Young scheduled to get the start. Looks like 0-1 with 6.23. Making his return to the majors, went back to Norfolk, pitched well, then went on the IL. But he's back and back in Baltimore, Texas, 39-41, 16-25 on the road. So you got to take advantage of that, I guess. They're offensively challenged. I mean, they scored runs without getting hits and whatever. Jacob DeGrom keeps you from scoring runs. He's a stud, 7-2 with a 274, or is that 224? Earned run average. So that's tonight. Baltimore baseball tonight, 5:30. Me, Mike Bordig, Oriole Hall of Famer, and Joe LaCroix, our Hall of Famer, live from Pickles. Stop by, say hi, and don't come empty-handed, as we like to stress. Maybe bring a fan, too, if you don't mind. Elsewhere in the American League East on a Tuesday, Blue Jays taking on the Guardians, and a guy that got a big old fancy free agent contract when he left Houston earned it last night.
And a high fly ball to deep left center field. It's gone! A grand slam for George Springer.
Springer! Grand slam, as you heard. Sportsnet on the call. The girthy one. Alejandro Kirk, he drove in a couple of runs. The Guardians hit 3 homers. Like the Orioles, wasn't enough. 10-6. Final score. Lauer picks up the win for the Blue Jays. He's now 4-1. On the year. And the Yankees haven't been winning a lot of series lately. Orioles, I guess, kind of part of that. But anyway, they were taking on the Reds last night in Cincinnati. And how about a little walk-off bun for Francona's bunch?
Center field! Down for a hit! De La Cruz scores and the Reds win!
FanDuel on the call. Gavin Lux. You know, I was at Camden Yards when he had his first major league home run. Then for the Dodgers back in 2000, I believe it was 20 or 21. 19 is before COVID. But either way, he goes yard last night in the 11th. Walk-off Spencer Steer tied it in the 11th inning. 5-4 was the final score. Ben Rice hit a homer for New York, but the Yankees' struggles continue. What, 3-12 in their last 15 games? Something zany like that, but not good against the Reds the last two nights. Tampa Bay taking on Kansas City. How about a little whip and stick bun for the Rays?
And a high shot back into left. He got under that one, and it's going to get out of here. Gone, Danny Jansen, his 8th home run of the year.
And the Rays break out in front.
That's Dwayne Stats, FanDuel, Danny Jansen, two-run shot there. Drove in three on the night as Tampa beat the Royals 5-1. Remember Taj Bradley? The Orioles knocked him out early last week. Well, he goes six shutout innings last night and picks up the win for Tampa. And the Angels take it on the Red Sox. Got free baseball into the 10th. And one of these many Angels stars made his bust out noon.
And he hits it hard out to right center field. Pretty deep. Rafael is back. It's over his head. It's off the wall. It might be a home run. Moore's racing on his way to third. The game is tied at least as Moore has a triple. And I think he's won it. Say goodbye to the Red Sox. It's a home run.
What a call on FanDuel. Christian Moore, who made his major league debut against the Orioles a couple of weeks ago, hit a two-run walk-off homer as the Angels stunned Boston in 10, 3-2. Hit a homer earlier in the game as well. So with Neto and Sean Well and Christian Moore, Angels, all these young studs are coming up and helping them compete here in 2025. Garrett Crochet, no decision, 7 innings, 10 Ks. For Boston today's schedule, Boston at the Angels again, 4:07. Toronto's at Cleveland, 6:40. Yankees at the Reds, 7:10. Tampa's at Kansas City, 7:40. And, you know, Texas is here at 6:35. Standings update on this Woman Crush Wednesday. In the divisions, Yankees, their lead in the East, down to one. One game only separates New York from Tampa. Toronto's 2.5 out. Boston 6. Red Sox have lost 4 in a row, by the way. Orioles still in last. It's 9.5 between Detroit and first. Cleveland in second. KC's 11.5. The Twinkies, they've lost 5 straight. 9 of 10. They're 12.5 back. White Sox, well, they're the White Sox. They're 25 out. Houston, 4.5 up on Seattle in the West. Angels, 7 back. Texas, 7.5. A's in the rear. You got Philadelphia now a game and a half up on the Mets. Braves are hot. They won 2 in a row, 7 of 10. They've crept within 4 games of 500. Still back in the division pretty good. 9.5 out there. Cubbies 2.5 up on the Brewers. Cubs have lost 3 straight. Cardinals are hot again. They're also 2.5 back. The Reds, they're hot too. They're 4.5 out. Pirates in last place. And the Dodgers now 4.5 up on the Giants. 5 on San Diego. 5.5. And the Diamondbacks, 7.5. Wild card standings, if the playoffs started today, which they don't. Tampa, Toronto, Seattle will be your wild card teams in the American League. Orioles, 7.5 back there. And in the National League, it would be the Mets, Giants, and Brewers. Those would be your postseason participants here on June 25th. But the season doesn't end on June 25th. Needless to say, the Orioles have some ground to make up to even get back into this conversation, as they've lost a game and a half in the wild card since last Friday. When we come back, Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access takes over at 2, and then BBT, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services, live from Pickles at 5:30. Breakdown, we'll talk Orioles, we'll talk Ravens, we'll get into sports talk, but we'll talk about where Derek Queen will wind up tonight with the top 15 lottery pick, we're guessing, certainly first round. So we'll get into all of that. We'll have some special guests, I'm sure, because Jimmy Patsos knows a lot of people, and hopefully we're going to hear from some of them. Now, Vinny, you're off tomorrow.
Yeah.
Be back on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then Ryan Ripken will be in at noon, as me and him will be ripping it with Ryan as usual. But, Nolan, you're off too. So what's going on in Nolan's world? I know you like to keep things close to the vest, but at least give us a morsel of your excitement over the next few days.
Maybe a crumb here, a little tidbit, that? If you will. I'll be back on Tuesday. I'm off to Nashville celebrating a friend's birthday down there. I got a big group going, about 12 of us, I think. So see how that goes. I'm not in drinking shape, so I'm going to have to get in shape as soon as possible because it's going to be a long weekend.
You need to bring Dustin with you.
That sounds like an easy no. No offense to Dustin.
Yeah. I mean, you were at Pickles when the weather screamed of, I need an ice cold beer.
Right.
The last couple of days. So you should have done like a couple of 12-ounce curls or 16-ounce curls.
I told myself a month ago, I said, you're going to Nashville. It's going to be a weekend of just boozing straight. Nothing but it. Give yourself a little training camp. Give yourself a little preseason and start tying them on the weekend and get yourself in shape. And just never did it. I've been drinking much in general, so this could be a disaster weekend coming up.
Hey, Nolan, you know where a good place to go down there because you can drink and is the Topgolf down there in Nashville? I've been to it a couple of times. It's a fun place, and do serve alcohol.
Topgolf is always a good time. Been to the one here in Baltimore. Nice place.
Nolan McGraw, you have a safe trip.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next week. I guess you can't leave without taking us through that funhouse one more time, can you?
Quick Draw's Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
A lot of people disgruntled with Gary Sanchez behind the plate. Texter here says, I think I got to give Sanchez a pass here. Not just the three-run bomb and how much that outweighs some of the defensive stuff, but he also did save what could have been and should have been the go-ahead run a few pitches before Carter actually came home. He let some get away, but that one stop that he did make was very impressive.
Okay. The two outweigh the one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not all that great at math. Look, Gunner's throw in the, fourth inning when they scored three runs, that was just a bad throw. I mean, Johnny Bench didn't make that play. Laureano's throw was up the line a little bit. And even the runner probably would have been safe. But the one in the ninth, that was...
Oh, come on. Gunner's throw, to me, who said that it was might have been a... No, to me, that was a perfect throw. All you do is...
Jackson's throw.
Jackson's throw. Yeah, Jackson's throw. I mean, crap. Just reach over and put it down.
Yeah,
you know, put the glove down.
Gunner's was a ball.
Yeah.
Even the Gunner's robot up would have called that a ball. But, you know, getting no hit through six innings didn't help the cause. But... they did take the lead. Gary Sanchez was brought in to provide pop from the right side, catch occasionally. You knew this was going to be part of the problemo. However, hey, Maverick Hanley doesn't get his bell rung. He might even be the catcher. Sanchez DH'ing, but injuries have kind of put them in a quandary here.
This texter here says, I love the classic Manzo excuse making after that loss last night. Says our relievers are tired from so many games in a row, even though... by my count, they've been taxed less than they were earlier in the season because the starters are actually going deeper.
Didn't Trevor Rogers just pitch eight innings the other night?
Yes, he did.
So Kittredge pitched, and he pitched last night, so probably cross him off your wish list for Wednesday. He went a little bit deep Sunday. Well, they got clobbered. All right, I'll buy it. Kind of, not really. So
I kind of like Manzo's where those were really good slides by them.
Sure. Saw the plate, get the plate.
I think that's one of those things with being the new manager. Obviously, you don't want to crush your team. He's not at that point of tenure yet where he can feel comfortable, you know, calling his own players out publicly and walking that tightrope. But to go so far the other way where it's all sunshine and rainbows because you're just scared of saying anything negative, that's where you get answers like this.
Well, hey, them L's stack up, and he's starting to get the hint that he's just going to be the interim manager. Maybe that truth serum starts to fly a little bit. Well, hey, they have a winning record with him as the skipper, so we got to give him that.
Let's see. Texter here, talking NBA draft, says the Wizards should trade back, find a way to grab Derek Queen, keeping him at least somewhat closer to home, the most popular ball player to come out of Maryland in recent history, and the dramatic buzzer beater in the tournament made him more of a household name locally. Drafting him in Washington would instantly result in boosted fan interest that Washington hasn't had in forever.
Yeah, and maybe the Wiz start to, like, you know, get some games back down here in the Charm City like they used to have. My first job ever in this business was 1990 when I was at broadcasting school. They were the Bullets at the time. They had an office at the Civic Center. They played four games a year here in Baltimore. Then they built what is now the Capital One Arena, I believe it is. Where Maryland, by the way, Maryland's going to open their season against Georgetown. They're going to start a home and home. Maryland's season opens at the old Baltimore Civic Center, CFG, and then they'll start home and home because Georgetown plays a Capital One Arena. But a roundabout way, yeah, fan interest, but to what level? I would think most scouts feel as though Ace Bailey's got a bigger upside than Queen does at the next level. I don't know if he will or won't, but Ace Bailey hasn't done himself any favors here in the pre-draft stuff.
I think the name recognition part holds true. Like, I mean, NBA draft more than other sports. I mean, when most of these guys, even top-tier guys, get drafted, most people around the country are like, oh, all right. And unless it's a Cooper Flag that played for a prominent college program, you don't know him.
So will New Orleans fans flock to whatever the name of their gym is to see Kaman Moloch?
No. But Washington could, in theory, if it was Queen, who people around here are familiar with.
Oh, sure.
But Ace Bailey, right? I mean, he was a big deal at Rutgers, but people around here probably don't care.
Unless they start Ace, winning games.
Yeah. Ace Bailey helps them win more than 14 games.
Yeah.
Let's see. We'll close up shop here with the Ravens. Howard in Baltimore says it's looking like the Ravens will be able to get over the hump because of their defense. Every year in the playoffs always seems to come down to offensive mistakes, whether it was Zay Flowers' fumble 2 years ago, Andrew's mistakes last year. The offense will still carry them to the playoffs with an elite regular season, but what gets them over the hump will be this new, built, fresh defense.
If they're getting turnovers, I agree with that. Make it short fields, make it easy. Make them in the plus territory. If they get plus in the playoffs, Ravens are going to be in good shape.
It's going to do it for us. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny, I'll see you Friday morning.
Yep.
Nolan, I'll see you next week. Have a safe trip down there to Nashville. Have some fun. Stay out of trouble. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. Tomorrow, it's me and Jimmy Patsos talking draft and more. You don't want to miss that. Inside Access next, BBT at 5:30. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay cool. For now, class dismissed.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.